Ecclesiastes chapter 3, draw your attention to one part of one verse. How about that? Somebody told me a while ago, you're not going to preach on one verse, are you? I said, no, I'm going to preach on a part of that verse. And the same goes this morning. Ecclesiastes, we're reading from the New Living Translation. I don't know what translation you have there, but that's this one. And I really like the way that the New Living Translation puts this. It says, yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. I want to zero in on one aspect of that, and that's the part that says, God has planted eternity in the human heart. That's every human heart. That should be good news for us, especially when we're witnessing for Christ. When we're talking to people about the Lord, I want you to recognize the fact that God has already planted something in their heart that will respond to what you have to say, and that is eternity, okay? Now, I want you to do something that's impossible for you to do. Or at least I want you to try. I want you to put on your thinking caps. I know it's early on Sunday morning, but what is it now? It's about 5 after 11, so you're awake now, right? You got your coffee in you, you had your breakfast, and your mind is clear, and you ought to be really able to follow us in thinking. So I want you to try to do something that's very hard for any of us to do. And you know what that is? I want you to try to get, it's very hard for us to get our minds around the concept of eternity. That is very difficult. But it is a revealed truth in God's Word, and so we have to at least make the effort to try to get our minds around the word eternity. All right, you guys, you young men here, this is a project for you too. We're not, and Annabeth and Brian and Brady. I'm not stuttering. I forgot his name for a second. And all you young folk and all you old folk, here's the challenge for us this morning. Eternity, think about it. Because if you don't, it might be the biggest mistake you ever made in your entire life. And we all make lots of mistakes. But the biggest mistake that you will ever make in your life is to neglect or to forget the concept of eternity. And every now and then we need to be reminded on a regular basis. I need to be sat down as a pastor even, and the Holy Spirit has to remind me what it's all about. What our lives are all about. It's not the here and now. We get so occupied and preoccupied and distracted and involved in the here and now that we easily lose sight of eternity. Eternity is something the Scripture says God is an everlasting God. The Bible says from everlasting to everlasting thou art God. And so God lives in eternity. Hard for us to get a hold of that with our minds because we live in time. We have a beginning and we have an ending in this life. Right? We had a beginning, and we will, in this life, have an ending. God has no beginning and no ending. Now, we can think about that, and it will stretch our minds, but I find it interesting. The last part of that verse says, even so, even though we're challenged to stretch our minds on revealed truth, even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. We see in parts and in portions, right? Paul said, we know in part, we see in part, we have our faith in part, but then we shall know in full and face to face. And so while eternity is hard to get our minds around, this one truth that is revealed in the Scriptures changes everything. Because if there is no eternity, what does it matter? What am I wasting my time up here for? What is it that makes people travel around the world to preach the gospel? If there is no eternity, there is no gospel. I mean, eternity is the reason why God sent his only Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Eternity is the reason why Jesus volunteered to come and to suffer and to die and to be buried and to be resurrected. All of that was temporary events that would take place in order to bring about that which was eternal. God, everything that he does is is in from an eternal perspective, because he's an eternal God. And while it's hard for us to do, we have to realize the value and the importance. If we remove the subject of eternity from our lives, then we have nothing left but the social gospel. If we remove the truth of eternity, every one of us are faced with the reality of eternity, either now graciously by the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit, or when we stand before God after we die at the great white throne judgment, we will be faced with eternity. So is it not the most important subject in our lives? It's not who you marry. It's not whether you have a family or you don't. It's not what life holds from you. It's not how good big your bank account is. I know that's the philosophy and the emphasis of the world. And we get sucked into that and preoccupied with that. And sometimes the easiest thing for us to do as Christians is to lose sight of eternity. And the Bible says that if we lose sight of the eternity, then we have taken the very heart out of the gospel. And we are simply holding our holding a social club and holding ground until Jesus comes. And so we have to be reminded, we have to be constantly reminded that eternity is the reason why God's servants, I mean, sometimes we forget church history. It's the reason why many of God's servants, preachers and prophets and the like go to foreign lands and face hostile countries. Untold hardships and persecutions. Our forefathers spread the gospel in regions that were, they faced hardship and struggle, and pioneering is very difficult. Larry, you know that. Coming to an established church is a breeze compared to pioneering in the north. Pioneering amongst the native communities or pioneering in a foreign land or on a mission field is a challenge. You better have the call of God if you're going at that. You will not last. I'll tell you that by experience. Unless the hand of God is upon you and God has sent you and you know that he sent you, don't dare step into that realm. Somewhere along the way, you'll collapse and quit. And I've seen many individuals who walked away from ministry. But anyway, eternity is the... We have to be reminded scripturally of the value of eternity, and it is the reason why most men like myself in this day and age continue to preach the gospel, whatever the result is. How can we? Paul says the love of Christ compels us. The love of Christ informs us and shows us that the bottom line is eternity. Let me ask you a quick question, but it's the most important question. I trust, you see, eternity is not the most popular subject. It's not something that people talk about in the office around the water cooler. The first thing that they talk about usually is the kind of weekend that they had or the good time that they had. They don't talk about eternity. And if you bring it up at the water cooler or in the office, you'll soon see that they look at you like they're from Mars. And yet the scripture tells us the wisdom is in understanding that it's all about eternity. It's what keeps us going in the midst of tragedy. It's all about eternity. It's what keeps us going when things are not going the way we want them to, or the way we thought they would, or the way we would like for them to have gone. And yet eternity is that compass that keeps us fixed. Amen? Because we're only here for, what, at a maximum, say 80, 90 years, 100 years? I'll give you 100 years. What's 100 years in the light of eternity? We have to sit ourselves down occasionally and say, where am I in life? What am I doing? What direction am I going in? What's the most valuable thing in life? What's my priority? We have to major on that which the scripture says is major, and minor on the things that are minor. Amen? I say to these young folks here today, the most important thing in your life is not what career you're going to be involved in. It's not what you're going to do for the rest of you. Now, that's very important. Don't get me wrong. I understand that. But we need to major on the major and realize that which is the most important. Other things are very important, but they are not the most important. The most important is, where are you as an eternal soul going to spend the rest of your eternity? Where are you going to spend eternity? The most valued question. Forget not thy creator, the scripture says. in the days of thy youth. I would say that eternity, and I thought about this as I was, the Lord laid this on my heart and I was preparing this message. I would say that eternity is really the reason why I'm not doing something else. I thought, why would myself and my wife sell everything off, pack our bags, and come out west? Because we're looking for a job? No, I had a job. Because we're looking for a church? No, I had a church. Nice one. Big one. But that's not what it's all about. It's not about size, it's about obedience to the direction of the Holy Spirit. Size and geographical location mean nothing if one doesn't know that one is sent by the Holy Spirit for a job and everything is for a mission, and everything is because God is interested in the eternal souls of men. It is the most valuable thing. I've got the most important job in the world. Reaching lost souls for Christ, and so have you. You see, sometimes we think that we're just a person who happens to have a soul. No, no, the Bible says you are a soul who has a body. There's a difference. You're our soul, an eternal, never dying breath of God, life. God's breath and God's life is eternal. And God gives us breath and gives us eternal life. We have to view people and one another. We are souls who happen to have a body temporarily for a while. But this room, this life that you have is simply a dressing room, a preparation for eternity, where you're going to spend the eternity and how you're going to live your life in the light of eternity, and you'll be the wisest man on the planet. That's what the scripture says. That's not just my opinion. And yet the truth is that to our own detriment many times, we unwisely lose sight of the eternal. It's so easy to lose sight. We lose sight very quickly of that which is eternal. Amid all of the cares of this life, the Bible talks about the cares of life and the deceitfulness of riches. Amidst our labor and our leisure, our raising a family and our making a living and bettering ourselves and preparing ourselves for retirement and getting our house in order to start a new job or in order to go off to school, and all of those plans are important and are necessary. But I'm here to tell you that the Bible says that if we only center in on the here and now, we are of all men fools. Now, that's not my terminology. That's biblical terminology. I don't use that word lightly in order to insult anybody. I'm only using the scripture, that the terminology that the Bible uses. For us to be only consumed with the here and now as much as we're involved in it, and to the neglect of eternity, makes us the greatest of fools. And yet the Holy Spirit comes to enlighten us and to bring our understanding to the fact that eternity is a reality. God, do you know why Jesus suffered? He didn't have to. He volunteered to suffer and endured the agony and the shame, the naked shame of the Son of God hanging on the cross of Calvary. You know why he suffered? Oh, we are responsible. Well, because he loved us so much. And that's true, but it all goes back to eternity. He hung there and suffered and died in shame and was buried and resurrected. Why did he do that? It was a temporary mission that the Father had given. Why? Because God knows that heaven is eternal and he wants you to be there. And this is the only way that you could be. Or you could put it this way. He knows that hell is eternal and he died so that you choose not to go there. Eternity. Where will you spend eternity? Eternity can become so unreal, can it not? We get so caught up in the kids hassle us and can I pay the bills and all. It's just the daily grind of life. We get so preoccupied with that eternity can become so unreal and seem so distant. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God that He reminds us what it's all about and where we're headed and where we're going. And so we constantly are reminded of the one thing that matters the most. What is that, Pastor? What does it profit a man if he gained the whole world and gets everything that he ever desired, and in the end he loses his own soul for eternity? What does it profit? What gain is in that? Is really what the Scripture is asking us. What difference does our investments make if we're not right with God? Really? What difference does it make how much you have or don't have in a bank account if you're not right with God and you die today or Jesus comes tomorrow? What difference does it really make how big our barns are in light of eternity? Again, I use the terminology that Jesus used himself. He said there was once a rich man who had everything that he could ever want materialistically. He could go anywhere, do anything. Everybody was wanting a donation from him because he had so much money and so on. And the Bible says, and he said to himself. Usually we say this sort of thing to ourselves and not to somebody else. I think I'll tear down my barn and build greater. I think I'll tear this down. That's not enough. When is it enough? I think I'll tear down my barns and build greater and say to myself, eat, drink, and be merry. Does that not sound like the philosophy of the world that you live in? Eat, drink, party, hearty. Party, the weekend is coming. Work only 5 days and then take your check and then blow it so that you can drink yourself into oblivion, or smoke yourself into oblivion, or toke yourself, whatever, and have yourself a so-called good time, or in actuality, a good time temporarily. Because the Bible says sin can be pleasurable for a season. It tells us the truth. He said, relax, eat, drink, be merry, travel, do what you want to do, buy what you want to buy, enjoy leisure. You got her made. And you know what God says when he looks upon that man? Again, I use the words of Jesus. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Thou fool, this night all that stuff's going to be hauled out from under you, and you're going to be left with your relationship or lack of relationship with the Almighty God, your Creator. His terminology. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You know, I believe there's an even bigger fool than that. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But there's an even bigger fool than that fool, if that's possible. Who's that? It's the one who says, oh, I believe there's a God, but I will not serve him. I believe there's a God, but I will neglect him because I'm preoccupied. I'm bettering myself. I'm making my fortune. I'm increasing. I'm centered in on the here and now. That is the most miserable of all fools, according to Scripture. The man who chooses to live every day in the light of eternity is the wise man. God, the Scripture says, has planted eternity. Now think about that. God has planted eternity in the human heart. That means that no matter who he is or what he does or does not do, he will always come back to this subject of eternity. And I've seen it happen I've been pastoring now. Next Sunday will be our 31st anniversary. Thank you very much. Will also be our 35th anniversary of being in ministry, because we got married and a month later we went into ministry together. God love you, Milo. What was I saying? I got all caught up on my anniversary. A man will always come back to the subject of eternity. 35 years of ministry, I've seen it happen many times, especially in hospital when the doctor says, you've got 6 months. You got 2 weeks. Somebody who had no time for eternity, had no time for the things of God or the man of God, all of a sudden is calling on the preacher. And I've seen it and witnessed it and heard of it many, many times. Now he's faced with his own immortality. Now he's faced with, why? Because God has planted eternity in his heart. He covered it up with a lot of riches and a lot of activity and a lot of leisure and a lot of drunkenness and a lot of sin. And men cover it up with everything. But deep down in every heart, there is the subject of eternity. Why am I here? Where will I go when I die? Is there life after death? Can you tell me the way? Is there a way? There's got to be more to life than this. Where did all that come from? That came from the Spirit of God implanted in every man, woman, and child. God has planted eternity in their hearts. You could go anywhere on the planet. I read a book in missions 35 years ago. A man by the name of Don Richardson. It's called Eternity in Their Hearts. And he tells the same story. He's a missionary. He said, you can go to this. You can go to New York City downtown, or you can go to the jungles of Papua New Guinea, or you can go to the Amazon lost tribes. And in every one of them, there is a sense either they're religious or they want to know something or they believe in some sort of higher power. Why is that in the heart of every man? No matter where you go, no matter what culture around the world, because God planted it in the heart of every man. Amen. Why do you think people are religious anyway? And everybody is. You say, well, people say, I'm not religious. Well, everybody's religious about something. What the religious means committed and faithful to. He's religious. There are people who are religious about their drinking. They drink religiously. Every weekend, every second day, every morning I have a beer. They're religious. There are people who are religious about their exercise. You know, you see them out jogging down the road in pouring rain like this, snow, sunny, doesn't matter. They're jogging down the road, and everybody says, what in the world? They're just religious about their exercise. Why do you think people are religious about God in the first place? Where'd that come from? Whether they be Muslim or Hindu or Christian or Buddhist or say, I'm none of those, but I do believe in a higher power. Why? Where did that come from? Because God has placed eternity in the heart, planted eternity in the heart of every man. The Bible says that we are fools if we only live for the here and now. Because all these temporary things will pass. We think they're so real now, they'll never pass. Barry, you remember your childhood? When you ran through the fields and you weren't responsible and so on. You remember your childhood, folks? Oh, it was so real back then. You didn't think there was anything else but, right? Now look in the mirror. I think things have changed. I think you realize that youth is only temporary. This too shall pass. Everything in this world is going to pass. You know, while we're living it out, it seems like this is it. There's nothing beyond this. There's nothing greater than this. That could be our biggest mistake, because everything changes. When you get married and have your children and you got, you know, a house full of children, say, this is life. This is what life is all about, you know. Rearing the children and raising the children back home. They call it rearing. Raising the children, making sure they do well for themselves. It's all history for me now. It's past. It's over. I'm in the grandpa stage. Pop. Grandpa. I'm in that stage now, but that's only temporary. At some point, the page will turn on that too. Folks, what I'm saying to you is what the Bible has said to us all along. In all of the stages and the phases of life, God promises that he will be with us. As long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. And as long as you seek the Lord, God will prosper you. But these are all just different phases of our lives that will eventually lead to the big door opening for us into the realm of eternity. Are you ready for that? You say, well, I'm only a teenager. I'm only barely 20 years old. I got my life before me. There's no guarantee of that. You read the newspaper tomorrow and somebody else was killed in a car accident. Our life is a gift. It's fragile. Treat it lightly. remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Because we all stand before God, and once we stand, it will be for eternity. Every person was created as an eternal soul. And the life in this body, that we live in this body, will determine where we will spend eternity. What we do with Jesus Christ, what we do with God's only way of salvation, will determine where we spend eternity. The Bible says, and I close with this verse of Scripture, he that believeth on the Son hath life, and he that believeth not is condemned already. That Scripture always slaps me in the face. He that believeth on the Son hath life. Or let me paraphrase it. He that accepts the Son has eternal life, yet he that rejects him is condemned already. Already done. You don't have to do anything to be lost. Just continue on the road of ignoring God or not receiving his gift of salvation through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just neglect everything that God has done to save you and you'll be lost, right? I mean, if you're out in an ocean somewhere and you can't swim and you're going under, all you got to do is neglect the rope that somebody throws to you and you'll go under. And what the world doesn't realize is that men are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. We're lost the day we were born. We have a sinful nature that we need to be rescued from and saved from. So I'm asking you as a pastor, bringing to your light the light of eternity. Are you ready for eternity? Every one of us are an eternal soul. Are you ready for eternity? God, in his grace and in his love, has thrown us the rescue rope. The only rescue rope. He that tries to climb up any other way is a thief and a robber. The only rescue rope. And the gospel message, and may we never forget as individuals and as a church, that the reason why we are still here is because of eternity. The reason why we're planted in Chauvin or wherever God has planted us is because of eternity. The bottom line is eternity. The reason why Jesus is, the reason why we're still here is because of eternity, so that we can reach others with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. How's that going for you? Otherwise, why would God even leave us here? We're his children. He wants to be with us, and we want to be with him. Otherwise, we would get saved, and he'd take us on home, wouldn't he? But he's left us here temporarily. Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen? I'm going to ask Sherry and Mavis and Annabeth, to come back. We're going to sing a chorus together, a chorus of worship and praise. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I assume that all that are present do. But if you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, I don't know your heart. What a wonderful opportunity to respond in simple grace, respond in simplicity to eternal life as a gift. What an offer. He's just offering it to you on a silver platter sort of thing. Come, let us reason together. Greatest call in Scriptures. Come, 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 come. If you've already come, whatever you do, make sure you remind yourself regularly of what it's all about and what eternity is all about and what God has in store for you. Amen? Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of any man the things that God has prepared for his people. We got a great future if we're in Christ. We have a terrible future if we're not in Christ. So if you're not in Christ, the way is open now for you to come and give your life to Christ. Amen.